This Gamertag episode is brought to you by Gamefly. If you've ever wanted to try a game before you bought it, you should try Gamefly. It's the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. They're the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. Just pick your favorite games and have them mailed straight to your door. Then keep them for as long as you want and never worry about late fees. Plus, you can cancel at any time. Visit Gamefly.com/Gamertag to start your free 30-day trial today. That's Gamefly.com/Gamertag.
This episode of Gamertag Radio is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible.com has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free 30-day trial and free audiobooks at www.audible.com/GTR.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. What's up, everybody? This is Pete Rock with Gamertag Radio, and you're listening to episode 573. The crazies have taken over, and I'm hosting today's episode all by myself. Yes, that's correct. Danny and Paris are actually on assignment, and they've left me the keys to the Ferrari, so it's going to be fun. Before we move forward with the rest of the show, you could check us out on iTunes and check out our past episodes. Just do a search for Gamertag Radio or play.it. You can also go straight over to play.it/Gamertag. You can also find us over at Spotify or Stitcher or your other favorite podcast distributions. If you like what you hear or don't, please let us know. You can send us an email at fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or you can call and leave us a message, 786-2737-GTR. That's 786-2737-GTR. You can also send us a message via SpeakPipe. Just head on over to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio and leave a message, and maybe we'll read or play your message on the show. Now, I can't wait for later this week. The excitement is starting to build and build, and it's about to hit me something furious. The whole crew is going to be back together again in Los Angeles for our coverage of E3 2016.
Gamertag Radio is headed to E3 2016.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo direct from the convention center floor.
Get daily interview, roundtable discussion, the latest news from the crew,
everything you need to know,
all the latest gaming coverage,
developer interviews, VR, and more.
E3 2016 coverage from Gamertag Radio.
June 13th through the 17th. GamertagRadio.com or play.it/Gamertag.
Shout out to CBS Radio for the dope promo spot. It's going to be Godfrey, the tank top, and the yak running crazy around LA covering E3. It's going to be, I can't wait. The excitement's starting to build. It's dope. I cannot wait. First up, we head up to sunny California, where Paris got to check out the NBA 2K16 Road to the Finals Championship. They also got to find out who is going to be on the cover for 2K17, as well as meet the legendary Kobe Bryant and fellow Laker champ Rick Fox. Little trivia about Rick Fox. Don't know if you are aware, but he owns Echo Fox. It's an esports team, and they compete in CSGO, Smash Brothers Melee, as well as Street Fighter V. Well, while Paris was there, he was joined by the good dudes over at Spawn on Me, Khalif and Cicero, along with Milton, a.k.a. the Slovenly Gamer. And with that, take it away, fellas. Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hey, this is Paris. I'm here in Los Angeles, California. I'm standing outside with a trunk open at the car at the NBA 2K16 Road to the Finals Championship event. And I'm here with Cicero Holmes.
What's up, GTR?
The Slovenly Gamer.
What's up, guys?
And Oscar the Grouch himself, Khalif Adams.
I'm only here because they didn't pay me well enough.
No, but we just got to watch the championship game for NBA 2K16 Road to the Finals. It was a great event. Kobe Bryant opened it up. Rick Fox hosted the event. Paul George is the new cover athlete for NBA 2K17. And, it was a fantastic match. I could not, as this esport thing is starting to grow, I was very skeptical coming into this. Like, man, they're just going to show NBA 2K16. I could do this at home. But by the time we got to the third quarter, I was all into it. I'm sitting there yelling at the dudes that's playing, like, dude, you ain't passing. Shoot the ball. What's going on? You know, and I'm bad on names. So who was the championship winner?
So again? The championship winner were the Drew Kerbockers. And then they have four letters after that.
I think HLDZ, it was like, I think it
yeah.
was.
HLDZ.
But Slovenly, what did you think of the event?
Honestly, like, because, I mean, I'm out here in SoCal. I go to a lot of FGC esports events and things like that. And when Khali first told me about this, I actually thought it was kind of crazy. I was like, wow, how come I've never heard of this before? I'm not honestly the biggest fan of basketball, but after coming down here and experiencing it live, I got to tell you something. This is the future. This is absolutely amazing. Just like you, Paris. Yeah. Like, I mean, from the word go, I was involved in it. I was just like, it felt like I was at a real basketball game. It was very high energy. Like, everyone in the crowd, just like the flow of the game. It felt like a typical esports event. It was absolutely amazing. It was incredible.
Agreed. Mr. Adams.
I mean, as a big fan of basketball and a big fan of NBA 2K, it was really interesting to see the kind of transition that they used to get folks from the esports realm so quickly into their game. It seems like they're making a kind of long, long, long push to see if they can kind of incorporate things that we are kind of talking about in other games like CSGO and League of Legends and all that kind of stuff into a sports game where you would know that it would probably be something that everyone has been looking forward to for a long period of time. So it was a really good event. They did a really good job, and it's going to be cool to see where they go now.
Cicero?
Yeah, so the thing that's really been interesting has been seeing how sports hasn't really entered the esports realm. And I think that 2K has done a really good job of bringing themselves in and saying, hey, this is what we do. And we understand tournaments. We understand competitiveness. We're sports. We're sports games. And this is their first venture into esports. And I'm really excited to see what happens in the future. I was just talking to Ronnie 2K, one of the community managers for 2K Sports and for NBA 2K. And he was saying that there are lots of things in store for NBA 2K17 in the esports realm. So I'm excited to see what happens in the future.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, if this is kind of setting the groundwork for where they're headed with 2K17 and just esports in general, I mean, like we were kind of just talking offline, that this could be huge, man. I mean, this is setting that groundwork to make basketball competitive in the esports realm. And, you know, we have Malik, formerly the Nerdist. He's now working over at Turner doing with Bleacher Report.
He
was here kind of covering the event as well. And that's why he left the Nerdist to go there to be the host of this kind of stuff. Because, dude, this thing is about to blow up, man.
Right.
Indeed.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm waiting to see what the secondary things that are going to come out of this are going to be. Like, I'm looking forward to see if, you know, they've implemented things with their currency in the game where you can bet versus some kind of aspects of it. Looking to see if the esports part of this will be something that they'll incorporate into that. They have people in-house who have been doing commentating at the event on the streams, looking to see if, you know, Nino, who was on Spawn on Me a whole bunch of times, they'll get them into the Telestrator kind of aspect of it. There's a lot of places that they can go in this aspect, and a lot of places that they haven't even touched yet. So 2K17, from all the buzz that we heard, maybe really big on that end. It'll be real cool to see.
You know, and it's like the other aspect of it, and, you know, we obviously saw this watching the real NBA, the Western Conference Finals, like with Oklahoma and Golden State. You know, these are five players having to work together as a team, and I even heard them saying that particular group, they met on Facebook.
Right.
They had to learn to work together and become a team and obviously work their way to the championship. But watching it, it was the fundamentals of basketball.
Yep.
You couldn't play no hero ball because when the other team started playing hero ball, next thing you know, they were down 15 points.
Yep.
And they were, hey, look, the sphincters got a little tight and they were kind of beefing with each other. You know,
grand looking on at the each line.
Other. Yeah, man, that's a lot of money online, $250,000.
I'm not going to say that they choked, but I'm just saying they might have choked.
I'm just going to say the sweat was coming down their forehead.
And the salt was flowing at the end of that game.
I kind of want to piggyback on what Khalif said a little bit earlier, which is very true and interesting. I would like to see how fantasy league stuff and fantasy, like just basketball and all those kind of things, affect this realm of the, because it's so big and a lot of people do it. And esports is getting a lot of push right now.
Right.
More particularly in the FGC, but you can see, I mean, basketball is a worldwide sport. I think the only thing bigger on a global level is my favorite sport personally, which is football. Exactly. You guys know it. You love it.
Who are you?
I don't know. What is that? Is that like, is that like black people
curling?
Are you
going to start seeing Manchester United? And
that's my team. How do you know? Oi, oi, oi. Go Reds all the way.
Oh, that, see, I said that because that's the only one I know.
I'm expecting kangaroo to fall out the sky.
No, but seriously, like I'm because being there was so, like, I was so enthralled in the game, it actually made me want to go out and buy 2K and play it.
Right.
And remember, like I said earlier, this is important because I'm a guy who's not necessarily the biggest basketball
fan.
Right. So actually going to the event, seeing the energy, seeing the guys really committed to it, seeing the crowd that was there supporting them and being committed to it as well, made me take a second look at basketball games as a whole and say, you know what, maybe this is something I should get into, you know? And so I'm very interested to see how it grows as an esport mantle in general, but also interested to see how the cross-pollination works with fantasy sports, because that's a big thing. I know because, you know, all you guys around me are big sports fans,
right,
and I always hear you guys talk about it. But and in football, we have the same thing. So I think that's going to be very interesting in the coming years because, just like Paris said, strong foundation. Can the foundation be even stronger when they start putting fantasy teams into...
Agreed.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I just want to... I want to say that it looks like, you know, we've all kind of, we're all old men on Gamertag Radio and Spawn On Me. We understand that esports is a thing, but I don't know if we really understand the magnitude of what esports is. But I think in the coming weeks and months, we're going to really, and maybe even at E3, really start to get a sense of how big esports as an entity is for all of gaming. And I think I said it a couple of weeks ago on Spawn On Me, I think 6-7 months down the line, we'll all be reporting on events in esports.
Yep.
Agreed.
Just as we report on events in the regular gaming world.
Well, see, that's the thing, and that's why I brought up Turner Sports earlier, because the right. fact that you had Rick Fox here, who's
right.
invested in it now with
right.
Shaq,
right.
you know, we had the NBA here. We had representatives from the NBA
yes.
that were here, you know, watching this event. So they obviously have a vested interest in
right.
the fact that the NBA and Turner Sports are tightly connected.
Right.
They're going to be featuring this. You're going to see Chuck and Kenny and Ernie and those guys talking about this,
yes.
you know, on Inside the NBA. They're going to be pushing people to the Turner Esports channel to go check this out. This thing, I'm telling you, this thing, we're watching the birth of something
right.
big right now.
Right.
I can tell you guys right now, it's happening a little bit, but it's happening more in the FGC esports. Because Justin Wong, after he won Combo Breaker,
yes.
it was on Yahoo Sports.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, you know,
right,
and like these, it's crazy because these are people that I know that I hang out with oftentimes in locals in the SoCal.
Mm-hmm.
And to see them actually be discussed on the news as sports, not just like in the game section, this little niche kind of thing with like a really weird, you know, flow down tab.
Yeah.
It's like big on Yahoo Sports.
Right.
Justin Wong wins Combo Breaker, like his
right.
fourth, you know, thing, like tournament in fourth or fifth tournament row, win in a row. Like that's pretty big. And again, you're talking about the FGC, which is small and doesn't have as much money and like thing behind it like basketball does. And now basketball is jumping into the esports. And you mentioned some good names, Rick Fox, Kenny, those kind of guys. Like, I mean,
right.
I'm not a basketball fan, but I know Rick Fox. I know Kenny Smith.
Exactly. Right.
You know,
exactly.
So you got to
think
gonna about
get that name recognition.
That market and that,
yeah.
you know, that curating with these names. And it's going to be phenomenal. And I'm excited for it.
The real interesting part that we're going to see, and we see this across a couple of different games as well. I want to see how EA responds to this. Because EA response
yeah.
is going to be really interesting, but they're already dipping their toe in the water on the UFC game, which is interesting because they're doing a live event thing where you can basically not bet, but what you're doing is picking the game or picking the fighter who's supposed to win and then playing that match out and figuring out if you can like beat the scenario in the game itself. So that's like kind of digging its way into a not necessarily esports version, but a part of the game that we're not really seeing that connective tissue between offline and online.
Fake Vegas.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, see, I'm expecting EA to leverage the popularity of FIFA
yep.
and Madden.
Yep,
and,
right.
and they're obviously going to start integrating their own esports channel stuff as well. So,
right.
yeah, we're going to see the NFL get into this. We're going to see soccer get into this.
FIFA.
It's going to be.
Right.
FIFA. Let me just say.
I said
the only,
soccer.
Yeah, I heard that.
I live in America.
I'm not even. Right. Don't pay this guy any mind. But
America.
Let me just talk about that like as being like the only football fan here. Football. Paris, I'm looking right at you, football.
Only football I know is played with the NFL. But
Paris just struck goal. I don't even think he realized that he struck goal when he mentioned FIFA. Football is the biggest sport in the world.
Absolutely. 100%.
If they get behind that on the esports level, it's going to be massive. It's going to be absolutely gigantic. And what I love about esports, because I interviewed a couple of friends on the FGC scene, and you know, they're behind this whole esports push. And my thing is always like, when you have big companies coming in, how is it going to affect the actual culture of the gaming? And I got to tell you, from so far what I'm seeing, and I just saw it here, it's positive. Because I think a lot of things that happen in, like, particularly in the FGC, where people kind of get a little bit nasty with each other, I like the fact with esports coming in and all this big money backing it, a lot of those things aren't going to happen. They aren't going to allow verbal abuse. Like, we, you know, like, there was a gentleman who just won the black guy. Who, I think, like, League of Legends and people were saying all that foul stuff.
Absolutely.
The Hearthstone.
The Hearthstone. And I think that once esports really gets involved, things like that would be a thing of the past, because they're going to be like, no, like, we can't have that. Like, if we're going to shut down chats, people are going to get banned, people are going to get tracked down and things like that. And I love that, because it's bringing more unity and enjoyment to esports and, you know, fighting games and just gaming community as a whole, which I think is very, very important.
Yeah, 100% agree. Now, I got to shift gears.
Okay.
Because I have to acknowledge a couple things.
Yep.
First of all, this is the first time that Cicero Holmes and Khalif Adams have been in the same space at the same time together.
Yeah,
and they do the Spawn on Me podcast. So I got to acknowledge that, and I'm very happy to see that.
Right on.
But I also got to say, from my own selfish reasons, this is the first time that I'm in the presence of Cicero Holmes and the Slovenly Gamer as well. And it's great that the you don't count Khalif. We met last year.
It's all good.
It's just great that we're all four of us are together right now, and we're able to sit here, and we took in this event. We're able to talk about it now. And, you know, E3 is coming up here in a couple weeks. You know, we're probably going to see each other there as well, man. So since this is Gamertag Radio, I have to ask the question, and I'm going to start with the Slovenly Gamer. What are you looking forward to at E3 this year?
Okay. And I know you guys are going to make fun of me for it, but it's okay. And it's the same thing last year. Not FIFA, because I know that stuff is coming. But I'm actually really looking forward to seeing what they're doing with Last Guardian. Leave me alone.
I agree. I'm with you.
You know, this has been a game that the community has been pulling for years and years and years. I mean, since the release of, what is it? Come on. You guys know the game on PS2 with the Giants.
Oh, you're talking
Shadow of the Colossus.
Shadow of the Colossus, you know? And I think that it's coming up, because isn't it like the same people, kind of like some of the same people kind of pulling for The Last Guardian, Guardian? So we've been really excited about that for years, and I'm such a big fan. I'm like, that's the biggest thing I've been waiting to see. I'm also a little bit excited to see if they talk about, of course, you know, the PS4, Neo, and all
that. Hold that one then. Let's go to Khalif.
Only thing I care about is if Red Dead is going to get dropped. I want Red Dead. I want that real bad.
They're not going to announce it at E3, by the way.
What are you talking about?
Yes, Red Dead Redemption.
That's just my thought, my gut feeling.
Oh, Dream Killer. Killer Lily. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I have to acknowledge, when you and Charles called me the hating king, how about Grove Off the Road? That was the funniest damn thing ever.
For folks who were following our Twitter feeds, which you should be, there was a great conversation, and Charles Singletary busted out. Shout out to CSCR. Busted out the greatest line of all time and called Paris the hate king?
The hating king.
And I was like, the hating king should be the next expansion for Destiny. If it ever was one, that would be pretty damn amazing.
Yeah.
But Red Dead is the thing I really want.
Yeah.
If that doesn't drop, I want to see more stuff about the Xbox hardware, the PS hardware, and also if there are going to be any new implementations of an opening up of the platform. I've been hearing a lot about the cross-platform stuff that they never really got a chance to talk about.
Right.
I want to see if someone kind of broaches that again and brings that back up, because I think that's a big story that no one's really talking about yet.
Paul George is sneaking into his truck right behind us. I'm kind of mad because I didn't get a chance to talk to Paul George. But so I want to see Paul George at E3. But what kind of to echo what Khalif said, I do want to see. I'm really interested in seeing hardware. There's been a lot of talk about hardware from Sony and Microsoft. So let's see what the rumors were, and let's see what they really turn out to be. But also, I'm looking forward to seeing what I'm looking forward to see every E3, which is games that I can play between this E3 and the next E3. And I'm looking directly at Sony, because Sony is, in my opinion, the last couple of years, great trailers, great sizzle reels, all sizzle, no sauce. There's been a lot of games where the trailers look great, especially coming out of the Sony camp, and those games are nowhere to be found.
I agree with you, and we're going to get back since they just gave their hardware, and I cut you off. I'll get to right. you in just a second, yeah. Slovenly. But I agree with you on that, because Sony's been a lot of talk these first few years.
Right.
But I kind of think Uncharted 4 is the signal of all this starting to pay off. In other words, their studios have been having about three, sometimes four sure. years to work on these games.
Right.
They got to start delivering, because right. look, Bloodborne and Uncharted 4 ain't enough.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And the order was never going to be enough.
That was AKA Austin Walker, Xavier Woods. That was Bootios right there.
Actually, that was one of the best games of the generation. I don't care what anybody says.
For the 5 minutes that you played it?
I will fight people who don't like the Order 1886.
Well, we're going to fight.
That was the most underrated game that we've seen in a long time.
You know what? I just thought about a game that I would actually like to see, but I'm just from the aspect of improvement. And that's, I would actually like to see an actual full game of Street Fighter V.
Huh. Yeah, because as hell didn't get one.
Right, yeah, right. Capcom, this is Milton, a.k.a. the Slovenly Gamer. I'm coming straight from the soul of the FGC in SoCal, and I got to tell you something. You can listen to last couple episodes I did of the Slovenly Gamer podcast. I've told people, listen, you got to be understanding. Capcom listens. You got Combo Fiend on there. He's you know what I'm saying? He's pushing for us. And I got to tell you, we're disappointed, and you guys need to prove yourself at E3. Definitely. They have to.
Now, going back to your hardware talk, what are you looking for with this Neo and the Scorpio?
I know that they're just kind of setting up for the whole VR thing. I'm looking for the whole up-resing thing. The only one issue I don't have, that I do have with the system is that this whole idea of 4K native, and I've been reading around, doing a lot of research on it.
It's not happening.
No.
Andrew and I had a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, about this, your son of sorts, Paris.
Andrew Alliance.
You know, Andrew
AKA
Alliance.
Uriah.
AKA Uriah. You know, we had a conversation about this. And my thing is, like, people are getting mad, but I'm like, you have to calm down a little bit. Every system has always done that. There's always been some kind of 2.0 iteration of every system
right.
over the last couple of years. This is nothing new. So trying to pretend like this is like, oh my God, why are they doing this? It's kind of a little bit silly. You had it with the PlayStation 3, with the Fat Boy and the Slim, and things, even inside, things were a little bit different from the Slim, from the Fat Boy. With this one, I'm looking forward to the up-resing. I'm looking forward to the system being a little bit more powerful, a little bit more energy efficient and things like that. My only beef is that don't tell people that it's going to be 4K native when all the research that we have says
it's not possible. It's not possible. And I don't think that's their game plan. I think they're going to say this is a 4K media streaming device
okay,
that will
right.
up-res your games
right,
to
right.
2160p if you right. so choose. Now, before we wrap this up, I got a couple things. So sticking on the hardware thing,
yep.
Danny Pena, this is for you because this will be out after the episode we just recorded. I told you guys a little bit about this. Daniel Pena, a.k.a. Godfrey of Gamertag Radio,
shout out to Godfrey,
that Microsoft is going to put out four consoles at E3 this year. They're going to keep the original Xbox One. They're going to have the new Slim. They're going to have the Scorpio.
Oh my
and they're
going
to have one
Cicero,
that doesn't
Cicero
have a disc
out.
In it.
Cicero almost fell out. He's holding on to the car.
I have no
currently.
Idea about passed out laughing.
So he basically
so
wants them to. He's basically saying
it's
that they're going to go bankrupt.
Elizabeth. Yeah, is what he's saying.
He's basically saying that.
So I know he wants to dream. Let him dream.
Right.
But can we all agree for the record that he is freaking crazy?
Yeah.
I have one thing to say to Brother Danny. I love you, Danny. You're like fam. The only thing I can even think of that makes any sense is butterfly in the sky. I can fly twice as high.
We're going to make this like a Spike Lee joint and say, wake up. I can't let you have that dream, Danny, because that dream is just cuckoo bananas.
Yeah, that's
that dream. That dream is like the dream my girlfriend has that I get in trouble for her. For doing something wrong in her dream. She wakes up and she's mad at me because I did something in her dream and you did something in your dream. You should be mad at yourself.
This is what I want Microsoft to do, since we're talking about things that they can do in fours. Can you give me four games that I actually want to play?
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Wow.
I like that.
Said, look, shots for the record. Paris Lilly did not say that.
I said it.
AKA Xbox hater did not say that.
Xbox is okay. I just want things that I can actually play on it that don't make me want to be mad at my system.
That's been my whole thing this last few weeks that I've been talking about on the podcast. So it's like, look, since Phil Spencer has taken over, they're doing it the right way. They're fixing that original garbage messes that they had in 2013.
Right.
But in my opinion, I'm still waiting on that game.
Right.
Maybe Gears 4 is that. Maybe Sea of Thieves is that. Well, I don't know. But currently, that game does not exist on Xbox One.
Gears looked interesting. Right. And I'm a person that didn't like Gears. And when I saw the little trailer, I was just like, oh, that's okay.
Cicero looked like he's about to choke you because he won't say something.
No. Not at all. Not at all. but I, you know, I've been listening to Gamertag Radio, and I've been hearing you talk about that game. And every time I think about it, I'm driving. And I don't call in like Keon from Baltimore. Shout out to you, brother.
You know what? He's famous now because everyone's saying that.
Right.
Everyone's talking about Keon.
But I believe that game has been Rise of the Tomb Raider. Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah,
was here's the problem. Here's the problem, though.
You can play it on a PC.
Right.
That's.
But not even that so much.
Okay.
They screwed it up. Because they put it out the same day as in that same window as Fallout 4 and Call of Duty.
Same day as Fallout 4 and the window of Call of Duty. And they put it out to die. Absolutely. But that doesn't negate the quality of the game.
No, agreed. I agree.
And I really believe that Rise of the Tomb Raider is that game. And actually, to be honest, I would rather play Rise of the Tomb Raider than Uncharted 4. I finished both games, but to me, Rise of the Tomb Raider was more fun than Uncharted 4. And I had a lot of fun with the game.
You know what? And I got to shift gears slightly because I got to admit something right now that I have not talked about on the podcast. I stopped at Chapter 11 at this point about 2 weeks ago on Uncharted 4, and I've not played it since.
Right.
Because not that it's a bad game, not that I don't want to see the conclusion of the story or that. But I feel that the gameplay started getting very repetitive.
It is.
I did not get the urge to go back. And then I got distracted with Destiny and The Witcher 3, and I've been playing that stuff.
Right. Within the first four chapters of that game, you have, maybe six chapters, you have all of the mechanics.
Right.
Right.
In the first four chapters, you have all but one of the mechanics. And the first six chapters, once you've passed chapter six, you've got all of the mechanics in the game. And then you just repeat.
The last mechanic is somebody grabbing your hand and you pulling yourself up.
Right, right. Yeah. And then you do that for the rest of the game. It's a beautiful game.
Yes.
It is a lot of fun.
It's a technical marvel.
It's a technical marvel.
It's gorgeous.
But it is not, it is fun to play, but it is not a great game in that respect.
It's interesting in that because, like I said, I lost my drive. We're about to get kicked out of here.
Right.
I lost my drive to continue to play it because, like, Blood and Wine's out now on Witcher 3.
Right.
And that is an expansion DLC. And right now, for me, that's probably the game of the year for 2016.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm about to start
that. Yeah, I'm playing Overwatch right now. I'm playing Enter the Gungeon. I'm playing a whole bunch of other stuff. After I finished Uncharted, that I didn't feel empty after I finished it, but I didn't feel fulfilled either.
I finished the game as well, and it was, I expected a whole lot more, and it just wasn't there. And the funny thing about the game is I didn't go in with any expectations. I was just like, oh, it's, you know, so I didn't prejudge it. I was just like, as I was playing it, I was like, okay, this is kind of fun. But when it was finished, it was kind of like, oh, okay. And I tried to do another playthrough, interestingly enough, I played like for an hour and then that was it. I haven't.
Oh, wow.
And then if you guys over in GTR fam want to check out our analysis that we pulled out actually a couple weeks ago, because this will be going up in a few, definitely check that out. It was a lot of great conversation.
Spawn on me, episode 112.
Yeah, it was a lot of great.
We're about to get kicked out of here. Please shout out your podcast, everything. Let everybody know where you can find you. Slovenly.
Hey folks, this is Milton, aka Slovenly Gamer. You can find me at Slovenly Gamer on Facebook, at Slovenly Gamer on Twitter, and that's it.
Spawn on me. You can find us at Spawn on me. You can find Stubby Stan at Stubby Stan. He's doing joints over at Operation Sports. At Kajakins is mine. You can find us on iTunes, NPR One, and all the places that you want to see your podcast.
FM, Google,
and your mama house.
Yep.
And final shout out to Austin Creed, aka Xavier Woods from the WWE, because that dude is awesome. Freaking hilarious.
Yeah. And can I just say something? I'm so nervous to be standing in the presence of this
guy.
I actually forgot to mention my podcast like a lunatic here. I'm so sorry, guys. Slimy the Gamer on iTunes as well, too. Come on.
There you go.
I thought you meant just because you were in the presence of Paris.
Right. Well, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that made him nervous.
Yeah, you know, I'm like all nervous here. You know, the halo is, halo of hate is shining over his head.
The light emitting from his mustache right now.
He's been calling Michael Jordan three times tonight.
I know. And it was funny because it was a lot of black people here, so it wasn't just
exactly. Yeah, that was kind of funny.
Exactly.
I don't even know what to say.
He's speechless.
I don't even know what to say.
He's speechless. Danny, that's what you got
to
do.
Other than middle fingers to all of you, red face emoticon. Right. That's all I got.
But yeah, folks, Slavic the Gamer on iTunes. Listen up. I do a lot of FGC stuff, a lot of Street Fighter, a lot of zombies all over the place. Like, I'm just your regular nerd friend who's just always, you know, talking some good stuff. Just come and hang out with me. Peace.
Dope.
All right,
we'll have
more
stuff for you. Peace.
No, I got more stuff.
Right?
I
mean, that's it.
You know,
that's
it.
Yeah, this is a good end. I like this. Just kind of trailing off.
Yeah, yeah, Stubby Stan.
Yeah. Dave, keep all that in. All right.
And cut.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Shout out to Paris, Khalif Cicero, and Slovenly Gamer for the dope wrap-up concerning NBA's 2K16 Road to the Finals Championship. Big thanks to Audible.com for sponsoring this week's episode of Gamertag Radio. Now, I know I've been critical of Halo in the past, but I've always been a big fan of the storybooks. One of my favorites being Halo Contact Harvest, because it takes place not from the eyes of Master Chief, but a young staff sergeant, Avery Johnson, right before he takes command of the UNSC. So you're probably wondering why I'm talking about the books and not the game. Well, you can check out this and many more Halo books over at Audible.com right now. Now, they have more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products, and you can get 30-day access to all of them, as well as a free audiobook by registering over at www.audible.com/GTR. Again, that's audible.com/GTR for your free 30-day access and free audiobook. All right, so next up, we have Danny, and we've got a special guest, Yami from Twinfinite. I had an opportunity to meet Yami a couple of years ago when we got to do the that crazy zombie adventure combat ops on my birthday. She's a great person. She has a great thing going on over at Twinfinite. Check out her videos on YouTube. So they had an opportunity to hang out this past weekend. They're going to talk about Twinfinite, E3, as well as they're taking part in a video documentary on podcasting. So it's going to be a very interesting listen up. So with that, I'll turn it over to them.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're live here in Miami, Florida, and I have a special guest. Please present yourself.
Hi, I'm Yami. I'm from Twinfinite.net.
And tell a little bit about Twinfinite. Are you a writer or what?
No, I'm the publisher of Twinfinite.
Oh, she's it's official. It's official from Yami.
Right? Yeah. We are a video game website. I started it, I don't know how long ago? 5 years? 5 years ago. And we get 6 million page views a month and we're cool.
And that's it. Thank you for coming. It was a great
interview. No, you're welcome.
No, but we had you on the show years ago. Yeah. I think when we first met, right?
Yeah. Like 2 years ago for sure.
So tell us a little bit about like any projects that have been going on now with you guys for your team. And I know you're getting ready for E3 too, right?
Yeah, that's really been the focus this month. We've just been trying to ramp up to June 12th, right? June 12th? No, that's when I'm going. Yeah. That's what I'm
going there on the 11th.
Oh, what? Why?
I'm going over there because I want to hang out with Paris, meet his family, everything over there. Yeah, so we're gonna land to San Diego. You're gonna pick us up. And then the next day, we're going to drive to L.A. Oh, okay. So I'm excited because EA, Bethesda, a bunch of companies are going to have events on a Sunday, which is rare and really weird. But I'm excited for this year's E3, even though it looks like it's kind of very different compared to past E3s. No Activision, no EA. Nintendo just showing one game, playable, only one game that we know of, unless they change their minds again. And I don't know, now with the whole open to the public, it's going to be very interesting next year with E3. You know, what are your thoughts about that? Because this is your third or fourth E3, right?
Yeah, my fourth E3.
So what are your thoughts about the whole changes that's coming up now?
I am really excited about it being open to the public. Don't get me wrong. I hope that everybody can experience it because it's such an amazing event. All the games there, it's cool. It's cool as hell that they're opening it up. But the issue is that I really hope that if they open it up to the public officially, media still get at least a day or two to get their coverage in before the crowd goes wild.
I mean, last year, a lot of gamers got badges from different companies, from like Sony, from Microsoft, from everybody. You feel like last year was packed? Because I didn't. A lot of people said that it was really, really packed. Certain situations, locations, it felt like it was extremely packed, but overall I think it was the same in the previous years. I think,
yeah, it was really smooth getting the, at least they were very, very nice about your media, okay, you can go ahead and go first to get the coverage in. In some cases it kind of made the gamers really mad. I actually had gamers booing us last year. It was pretty wild.
They were booing at you? Why?
I was like, oh my god, we're trying to do our jobs. I'm sorry. We went to go play The Division and they like let us in first because we needed to get the coverage. We had an appointment and then people in line booed us and I was like, oh no, I'm on your side.
That's crazy, man. Another thing, we gotta talk about what happened today, actually, right before the recording. So originally our plan was we were gonna record at CBS Radio. Last minute changes, and then we couldn't do that, but we managed to record for a documentary called The Messengers, a podcast documentary that's coming out either later this year, sometime next year. They're still working on that, but it was cool. Like the other night, they went to my house and the whole production crew, film crew, I mean, and they interviewed my dad, my fiance. And a little bit with my brother, that because we started Gamertag Radio, so we show like where we started, where we recorded our first episode outside of my dad's house and everything. And then today we went to Wynwood, a couple of places, we went to South Beach also, and a couple other places. Then at the end we went to CBS Radio, and I was like, man, I want to invite Yami, because we've been really good friends for years now.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to get like your side of the story, like when we met and how it helped your website and why it's so important for us people from the gaming community to help each other out when we can, you know? Don't get emotional.
You're going to make me say, I got incredibly emotional. I mean, listening to your side, because I was there for your interview as well, hearing how you went from the bottom, now you're here, Drake style, how incredible it is to like, just, you never stopped. And then I got to remembering like how nice you were to me when I first started and how I didn't know anybody. I didn't know what to do. And you were like such a support. So that's really what when I got interviewed, I just focused on like how much you helped me. And I really got to thank you.
Oh, thanks. But see, I did it because I just wanted to help out. It wasn't more of like, oh, I'm trying to get hits here. Yeah, because a lot of people just think about that, hits and how they could get that buzz going and all that stuff. Me, I'm trying to like just help each other out, man, because I feel that the more we help within the gaming community, it's gonna open the doors for everyone else, you know? So I'm not gonna be doing this forever. You're not gonna be doing this forever. Let the next generation take over and let them do it the right way, you know? So seeing you at E3 and also in the past at E3 and meeting you here in Miami, reminded me like when I started the struggle and all that stuff. And I remember we got together, the first thing I mentioned to you was, you need to go to Tokyo Game Show. Go for it. Even if it's only once, go for it. I haven't been there. But you did it. You decided to go over there. And we're going to talk about that experience very quick. But how was that conversation when we actually talked about, I was like, please make that move.
I remember that. I remember I was actually kind of like stressed out about whether I was going to go or not. But I finally, like, you were one of the people that was like, no, you have to go. You have to do this because it's going to be really good for you. It's going to be PR, like a good PR move. And I was like, okay, I will go to Tokyo.
And how was the experience over there? Because I've never been to Tokyo Game Show. Japan, to me, is like a dream for me to go over there and just check out the city and also check out Tokyo Game Show. How was that compared to, like, E3 and PAX?
It was incredible. Like, it's as big as E3. I went for the media days. I didn't dare to go on the regular days because I could imagine that gets insane. Sony, as you can imagine, had a massive booth. Every company was there. It was actually Nintendo, I don't think, was there. I don't remember them being there. But it was so cool to see gaming in its, like, home turf, like, where it started. It was really awesome.
And I heard a story that you left your bag somewhere at the show, the Tokyo Game Show, and it was there the whole time. Like, people are really, really nice. They won't take it or anything like that. Like,
it's incredible. I remember there was that situation where I was like gonna leave my bag and there were no lockers like they have in E3 and PAX, and then I asked a like journalist from America. I was like, hey, are there no lockers? And they're like, this is Japan, like, you're not gonna get robbed.
And just leave it there on the floor. That's
yeah, it's true. I was walking to my hotel through like a like, you know, a city neighborhood at 12 o'clock at night, and I felt so safe too. Like, it was a very good city in terms of like nobody killing each other.
Yeah. So I mean, what's next now after E3? Is there any other events you would like to go in the future too, or maybe PAX or what?
Not really PAX. I kind of really want to go to Gamescom though.
Why Gamescom?
Gamescom? Oh, because an excuse to go to Germany. Like, that's
there you go. There you go. But see, we've been thinking about that too. Like, I would love to go to Gamescom. Not only because I want to check out Germany, but at the same time, I want to see how it is in other countries when it comes to like conferences like E3 and this Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show. I believe the first 2 days, I think, is for media. I know there's one day or two that's like strictly for the public, and it's insane. 100,000 people show up.
TGS, yeah. TGS was the same thing, yeah.
So, yeah, I would really love to go over there and record a podcast over there too, man. So, all right, so let's go back to E3. What is it that you're excited about for this year's E3? Is there any press conferences? Let's go with the press conference first. Is there any press conference you're excited about and why?
Okay, let's go with the number two of them that I will not miss and I cannot miss, and every other one I don't mind to miss. Microsoft and Sony's, I do not want to miss those. I'm really, really excited. They always bring it, man. Like, they really bring it. I'm never bored at their conferences.
So what is it about Microsoft that you're excited about?
I want to see more HoloLens. I want to see, like, more, like, godlike creations. I want to see us breaking that wall.
The surprises, the rumors has been going around with the Scorpio and then a new console for this year, the Slim. And now with the VRs, are we going to see Oculus at the Microsoft press conference? Maybe they have a partnership. We don't know. Now with Sony, what is it that you're super excited about the PlayStation press conference?
I really, really, really want them to finally confirm or deny the PS4K because I'm just so sick of hearing about it, honestly.
It's not because you're excited. You're just sick of it. Now, do you see yourself buying a 4K console?
No, I can't afford that.
All right, so you can't afford it. So that may... Okay, I can understand that part. Now, what about the VR for PlayStation? Do you think that's something that it's going to be good, or you rather just wait and see what happens in the future?
My thing with VR is that I'm really, like, excited for people that are excited, but I just can't get into it. I can't get into VR, man. I don't know.
You tried VR in the past, right? Which one you tried in the past?
I've tried every single one of them at this point.
There was no game that got your attention at all?
There are games that are like, oh, this is cool, but that's like as cool as 5 minutes. Like, I'm not going to be spending a lot of time in this type of thing. Like, I don't know. I think it's really nice for people that are super excited, but I unfortunately, like, I don't know. I can't get into it. Can't get into VR?
Interesting. Because it depends. If they show me a game that is going to get me excited, I will check it out. I will try it out, you know? So now another thing too, if there are any games that you're super, like mention two or three games that you're super, super excited for to see at E3 and why.
Okay, let's get into this. I'm super, super, number one, Persona 5. Nobody can take me away from my Persona.
You gotta tell me why though.
Oh, why Persona? Okay, I'm a huge Persona fan. For anybody that doesn't know what the series is, they are JRPGs. You go around as a high school student by day, making friendships, forging relationships, basically buffing up your stats. And then at night, you're going to save the world and stop demons from taking over Tokyo. It's really cool. All right, another one, The Last Guardian. I cannot wait.
You know, I was very excited at first, and now I'm like, we'll see.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you a fan of like Shadow of the Colossus or Ico?
Yeah, I mean, the game is cool and everything. The thing is with the Guardian, I was going to say Guardian of the Galaxy, The Last Guardian. For The Last Guardian, I know, I think it took them so long to show the trailer again, and right. I'm just not hype about it at all. So, I mean, it looks interesting. It looks really, really interesting, but I feel that it's not a game that's going to, it's going to sell a lot of copies. I just don't see that, you know, maybe the hardcore fan base, of course, are going to buy it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I don't see it being like a blockbuster hit, but I think it's going to be a game that's going to make me cry. Like, oh, you know what's another one? Sorry, I got really excited just in it. I forgot about this. Horizons Zero Dawn.
Well, that one looks really good. That one I'm excited about.
I'm all in on Horizon. You know what game I'm not that excited about? You could tell me if I'm wrong.
I could tell you. I'm looking at your face right now. No Man's Skies.
Exactly the game. That's exactly the one.
Were you excited at first? Because I was. And now I'm like, eh.
I was never excited. I was always like, how are they going to do this? No, prove to me. Prove to me you could do this.
Peter called it the Google Maps of gaming.
That's perfect.
He's just traveling. I don't know what he's doing. He's just traveling. That's
it's
it.
They've never explained it well, like what it is. It's like, oh, you're gonna go to planets. Okay, what am I gonna do at the planets? You're gonna go to planets. That's what you're gonna do.
Here's the crazy part. There's people that was sending death threats. I don't know if it was to the developers because it got delayed to August. Yeah. Really? I don't get it. Like, they're really that excited to explore. Go outside. Go to the real world. And.
But if you're so excited for a game, why are you issuing death threats to the maker of the game? Like, what's wrong with you?
That's the thing about negativity in gaming, man. So it's crazy. Are you disappointed on any game that you thought was going to be at E3 this year and there's, like, seriously no buzz at all? They're probably not going to show at E3?
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm hoping that, like, they suddenly surprise us all or something. I at least haven't heard anything about Kingdom Hearts 3 being at E3. But I am dying for that freaking game to come out.
It looks really, really good. Really good. And I remember last year they showed like a little, was a sneak peek last year. It looks beautiful. Yeah.
Were you surfing on top of it? Like,
it looks really good. And hopefully they show something about Shenmue because I played Shenmue 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And that's a franchise. I just want to like finish it. Like I just want to complete the story and I'm done. Yeah. I'm done, you know, so.
I want to know what happened after he got to that fireplace with that girl. Like,
yeah, what they had babe? They had babies or what? Like, what's going on?
What ended up that happening? I don't know. It ended like 10 years ago.
What I'm excited. Okay, let me see. I'm excited about, again, Microsoft and Sony. Because it's like this big mystery on what is it that they're going to announce? What type of games? Are they going to announce new hardware? If so, price cut or what? Another thing too, are we gonna see them having a console for digital games only? I want to see that. I'm tired of disc. Like I'm super tired of disc. So that, and I just want to see the games for Microsoft like ReCore, Sea of Thieves. That's from Rare.
Yeah,
it looks very interesting. That Gears. I like Gears, so let's try that out. And surprises. Are they going to bring back Phantom Dust? They've been talking about this for like 2-3 years, and there's been zero word about it now. And yeah, those are the games. Now for the Sony thing, Shenmue, of course. Are we going to see a new Grand Theft Auto expansion pack?
Red Dead Redemption.
New Red Dead, which here's my thing. I predict... we have this section called Miss Leo, which is hilarious. She predicts the future. So, yeah, we talk about like predictions all the time on our show. So here's my prediction, Miss Leo. So my prediction is this. I think that they're going to announce Red Dead 2 at the Microsoft press conference. At first, I thought it was going to be Sony. But the reason why I think it's going to be Microsoft, because they could easily say first on Xbox, like the DLC. Right. They'll have the marketing deal. And they could also say pre-order the game and you get a free copy of the first one, which is playable on Xbox One. Or they could say you could download it now. Today you could download Red Dead Redemption because of the announcement or whatever. They could do so many marketing cool things with it. So it's possible. What do you see it? Because I see it. Do you see it?
If Red Dead Redemption 2 is announced, everyone remember that I'm going to be losing my mind in my seat.
Here's the thing that Microsoft needs to do. The thing that Sony is really good at is getting the crowd excitement with like press conference, like with those big games or classic games that they're bringing back, like Shenmue, stuff like that. It gets the crowd crazy. Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy, like little things like that. Hopefully we'll get to see something like that similar to Microsoft, because they learn from past PlayStation press conferences. I was going to say experience. I don't know why. But yeah, I mean, any prediction from your end? And it could be from PlayStation or Xbox, doesn't matter.
I think the NX is going to be there. That's it.
I really doubt it.
Really? You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Oh, man, there were rumors that it's coming out like soon, like 2017 early. Like
March of 2017.
And you don't think that they would have like at least like a demo?
No, I think because of the whole new hardware that's going to be announced for Microsoft and Sony, they're not going to get that attention. It's better for them to do it at a separate event, maybe their own event in New York City, get the media involved and talk about it, because at the same time they need CNN and all these major mainstream news to talk about the system too. They can't only depend on gaming websites, you know. So if they really want to get people to buy the product, you know, so have this in New York City and make it playable, and people are going to be talking about that for weeks, even months, right before the launch in March 2017.
That's true. Never mind. My prediction is wrong.
So her prediction is wrong. But anything else you want to... We're going to wrap it up right now.
I don't know. Really excited. That's about it. I'm kind of going in a little bit blind. I have the appointments that 2 Infinite's going to. That's all I know. Yeah.
All right. But Yami, thanks a lot. And once again, thanks for still, you know, being a cool friend.
No, thank you for being a cool friend, man. Thank you.
Let's hug it out. Okay, bye. All right. Peace.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio.
Are you ready to save money and play more games? Then let me introduce you to our sponsor, Gamefly. Gamefly is the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games. Just go to Gamefly.com, pick your favorite games, and have them mailed directly to your door. Gamefly is the leading video game rental service. Over 9,000 titles to choose from. Lets you try your favorite games and movies before you buy. Keep the games as long as you want. You'll never have to worry about late fees, and you can cancel at any time. And like I said, Gamefly now offers movie rentals too. So go to gamefly.com/gamertag. Start your free premium 30-day trial today. That premium trial allows you to check out 2 games or movies at a time, and you can only get this offer by visiting gamefly.com/gamertag. Now go sign up, start playing your favorite games and watch your movies absolutely free for 30 days at gamefly.com/gamertag.
All right, thanks to CBS Radio Miami for making that happen. Thank you to Yami and Twinfinite and everyone else. I was jealous that you guys got to go to Sergio's and have croquetas without me, but I will get over it. So that's it for today's episode. If you like what you hear or don't, please, again, let us know. Tell us what we're doing wrong. Tell us what we're doing right, especially the doing right stuff. You could check. You can send us a message over to fanmail@gamertagradio.com, or you can call and leave us a message. Phone number is 786-273-7GTR. You can also send us a voicemail message via SpeakPipe. Just head on over to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio, and maybe we'll read or play your message on the show. So the next time you hear our voices, we'll be that much closer to the start of our E3 2016 coverage, and we can't wait. And since we're getting there a little early, I hope Duke bites Danny for all of his crazy four console talk from last week. Now, if you want to check out some of our past shows, head on over to iTunes, gamertagradio.com, or play.it. You can find us there or other podcast distributions such as Spotify or Stitcher. Once again, this is Pete Rock with Gamertag Radio. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you from LA. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.